testing. Fairhaven's testing, testing, testing. You talk right in there.
This is Jane Conklin Bering. I'm at the Fairhaven Rest Home. Is that enough?
That's fine. This is Betty Trunell speaking for the Decatur Public Library. Our guest today is Mrs. Jane Conklin Bering. Mrs. Bering, can you tell me something about your childhood? Were you born in Decatur?
Yes, I was.
And maybe you could tell us where you were born. You're in, at your family home? Or
yes, at 1053 North Main.
Can you describe something about the neighborhood there? I imagine it's quite different from...
No, that house I was born in is still there. And the neighborhood's about the same.
Well, that's a little different from some of the neighborhoods in that downtown area. Or close to, it probably wasn't close to town then.
No, it was out 10 blocks from the transfer house.
Right.
And that was considered quite a little ways.
The transfer house was in another...
Well, the transfer house was right in the center of the town. And the four main streets went out from it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your family, your father and mother and other people in your family. Can you tell us something about them?
Well, my father went to work for his uncle when he got out of high school, when he was 16 years old. And that was in the Anita Biscuit Company. And that was located where Haines and Essex is now. And my uncle wanted to retire, so father and his brother bought out the interest and got the franchise to make clean, made, and wholesome bread. And that's the way he made his living.
And a bakery?
A bakery. And they kept it in the same location. And I loved to go down there, have mother take me down and leave me while she went shopping in town, because the foreman out in the back room was a large black man, I guess I say nowadays, and he used to pull me around in one of the boxes that they shipped bread to. In those days, they took it down to the railroad and sent it bread on the early trains, or they had their trucks, their horse-driven trucks, and went locally and delivered the bread.
Well, that must have been a lot of fun for a little girl to go take a ride around the bakery.
Oh, it was wonderful.
It probably smelled very good, too.
Yeah, well, of course, they just baked bread at night.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night was early because they had to meet the big rush for Saturday. They also sold bread there at retail if you wished it.
Well, did you have brothers and sisters?
I had two younger sisters. One is 8 years younger than I am, between 8 and 7, and the other one is between 9 and 10, and they both live here in Decatur.
Well, good. And now, maybe, do you remember, have any other memories of your childhood?
Oh, yes, I've got loads of them. When I was quite young, my great-uncle, A.W. Conklin, who my dad bought the bakery from, or rather the business, died, and we went over and lived with my Aunt Anna for I don't know how many years. I started in school at the A.E., it's the Gassman School. It's at A.E. Gassman School. I went from her house to school there for several years, and then my family, mother was expecting again, so they thought, and Aunt Anna did too, that it was best that we get our own home. So we moved back on North Main Street.
Mm-hmm. So,
Oh, I don't know. What do you want me
to do? You went to grade school, finished grade school there?
Yeah, well, I went back to Marietta School.
Mm-hmm.
I had never been there, and I went there, and Miss Bertha Norman was the principal, and there was a Miss Boyer that was the fifth grade teacher, and they were such sedate women, and they were very nice, both of them, very good teachers.
They really made you learn.
Yeah, they were so sedate, though.
Mm-hmm.
And they wore the long skirts, mainly, and white blouses with a bone collar, necks. What do you call them?
Well, I know what you mean. The little bones in the neck hold the collar stiff.
Up.
Uh-huh.
And I enjoyed my school there, my schooling. I wasn't a very good pupil. I didn't desire to be. I was rather
play. You had a good time.
But I wasn't naughty in school, but I just didn't apply myself.
Uh-huh. How about high school?
Well, I went to what's the old high school? And for a while, and then I went to Ogonstown out of Philadelphia.
At a boarding school?
Yes,
Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it was near, what was that town? Arlington? No.
Near Philadelphia?
Yeah, it was right near Philadelphia. You went through North Philadelphia to get to it. And I liked that very much.
Was it strict?
Yes, to a certain extent.
Girls would probably think today it would be very strict, I suppose.
No, I think they would think it was easy unless they changed the...
But you mean the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
What did you study?
I did study mostly the arts in the appreciation of art.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, everybody had to play hockey. That was a must.
Uh-huh.
And I tried to get out of it because I had my teeth straightened.
Oh.
And I said that was too much money spent to have
your teeth faced in.
Hockey. She says it won't hit. You won't get hurt. And I didn't, thank goodness.
Uh-huh.
And we were allowed to go into the theaters with a chaperone to some of the plays, but not during Lent.
Oh.
You didn't go to the theaters during Lent.
Did you have dress requirements? Ways you had to dress?
To a certain extent, we wore skirts and middies during the day, and then in the evening we could wear a dress, a little nicer dress.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Sutherland was Episcopalian, and she took in her car certain girls every Sunday to church. And I was fortunate enough to get to go with her one Sunday. I've forgotten where we went, but it was an immense big church, Episcopal church. And she had her chauffeur and her open car. And she was just really real aristocratic.
Mm-hmm.
And when my sister went there, a number of years later, Dad and I took her down. Mother couldn't go. And Miss Sutherland said I was good girl, and she praised me to the sky, and I told Dad not to believe her.
You had graduated by that time.
I did not graduate from it. I wanted to get married instead.
Well, let's hear something about your marriage then.
Well, I married Debbie M. Wilson M. Bering, Jr. And what do you want to know about the marriage?
Well,
I had two daughters, Natalie Bering Gamble and Isabel Bering Brown. And Isabel, who lives here, has five children, and Natalie, who lives in Grosse Pointe Shores, has one.
So you have six grandchildren.
Yes, they're all in there.
And who made the picture?
Natalie.
Well, good.
I think it's awfully cute.
It is. So you really have a very good life.
Yes, I did have a good life. I played a lot of golf, which I adored, and I would swim a lot.
When did you start playing golf?
When I was 12 years old.
Oh, goodness. Could you tell us something about the course then? And the country club, was it?
Yes. And Dad wanted me to take up golf for several years, but he didn't like the pros. Mm-hmm. So finally he said, I found a pro that I like. He at the club this year. Well, he was a great big red-headed, what would he be, a Scotsman?
Scotsman, probably.
Yeah, and talked with an awful brogue. I could hardly understand him. And he told me if I didn't, and I took a golf lesson every day except Sunday for a month, a private lesson. Mm-hmm. And he said, now, Jane, if you don't get this one, I don't remember what it was, but there was something in my swing. He says, if you don't get that simple thing, I'm going to get a buggy whip and come out here. Now he's going to use it. Well, by George, the next day he showed up with a whip. But of course he didn't use it.
Uh-huh. And you were only 12 years old then?
Mm-hmm.
And you played then ever since?
I started golf, yes. And Mother was quite a good golfer. And it was quite a bore to her to have to play with me at times.
Mm-hmm.
And I never will forget one time. On one hole, there was a bank, and over the bank there was a lake. And I didn't have golf shoes at that time. And I was in that bank, and so I'd swing at the ball and fall down, slide down the hill. And I don't know how many times I did it, and Mother kept counting and made me mad. So I picked up the ball and I threw it up on the green.
And then what did she say?
I don't remember.
You probably can't quote it now.
Oh, I don't think she said too much.
Well, now, is this, is the course in the same place now?
No, it's in, it's,
could you tell us where this course was?
It's South Moreland now.
At that time, I believe they spoke of them as golf links, didn't they?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The early term for a golf course, golf
mm-hmm.
links. Do you remember some of the other members of the club?
Oh, yes, there were loads. I don't want to go into that detail because there are so many.
Oh, and you might forget somebody
mm-hmm.
important.
Yes.
I understand about that.
But and we used to have dinner dances on Saturday night. And very often, the young people, when they got out to dinner, some of the older ones would come around and talk to us, which was
mm-hmm.
nice.
Yeah.
And it really was a very nice little club. Just 9-hole course, which, and it was kept up nicely, and we had a lot of fun.
Well, good. And you continued your golfing then from that time?
When they moved to where the country club is now, I kept up my golf, and I was president of the Illinois Golf Women's Golf Association for 3 years.
Well, good.
If that's of interest.
It certainly is.
And
did you have other interests, any other groups that you belonged to besides golf?
Oh, I don't know.
What other activities did you take part in? Of course, you had your family.
Yeah, I had my family. Oh, and we decided to have horses.
Oh, did you ride?
Oh, of course,
uh-huh.
and drove.
Uh-huh.
And I did do a little showing, not much,
uh-huh.
but my oldest daughter showed quite a
mm-hmm.
bit. And I don't know.
Did you have any especially nice horses?
Well,
any that you remember?
Yeah, they were high type bred pleasure horses.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd show them at some of the little shows around, and that was always exciting.
Well, of course.
But not too much.
Do you remember any interesting people that you think ought to be mentioned? Any people that you especially remember from your...
Oh, yes, I adored my father-in-law.
Can you tell us something about him?
Mr. Byrne, he was postmaster at one time, and he was very instrumental in Lake Decatur, although he doesn't get credit for it. And he was quite a civic leader, and he was just a lovely man. Mm-hmm. I drove him about the last year of his life.
You drove him
in the car.
In a car.
Uh-huh. And Mrs. Green said, "Will you get him and drive?" Because he had diabetes. And she says, "He won't do anything." And the rest of us say, "You're the only one that has any influence over him." Mm-hmm. And he was particularly fond of my youngest daughter, so I used to get her and take her with me when I'd go to get him in the afternoon. And this one afternoon I thought, gee, I'm a little late. I don't want to be late, but I haven't got Isabel. So I decided to go be a little late and go get her and take her with me. And we went down and got him. And early the next morning, he must have had a stroke or something, but he left us. And I was always grateful
that I'd gone. Oh, so glad that you went to get her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, you've told us some very nice experiences about your father-in-law. Now, perhaps you have something that you'd like to tell us about your own father.
Well, he was a wonderful man. And we used to have lots of fun together. In fact, Mother used to say I was the apple of his eye, but that wasn't the truth. My younger sisters participated as much as I did. But Dad would always let me have his car. Her mother said she wanted her car in the garage so when she wanted to go somewhere, she could go. And she would never let me have her car. Dad and I used to play golf once in a while together. And we went to three-hour league baseball games together. Even after I was married, we went.
Maybe we should explain what the Three-I League was to people who don't know.
Well, the Three-I League was a baseball league in this vicinity. I don't know.
Weren't the three I's the Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa?
Well, maybe. I
thought
don't
they
know.
Were.
They could be. Let's see.
You went to the games together.
Yes. And sometimes I took my father-in-law. He was a great baseball fan.
Well, Mrs. Baring, you undoubtedly have some memories of the Second World War. Were you in Decatur?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I've lived here all my life, you know. And I was married then. And I became interested in the Red Cross. And Miss Love, who was head of the Red Cross, got me interested in, well, first we took men's shirts and made nightgowns out of them, hospital gowns. And then we got into surgical dressings. And the Elks Club was nice enough to let us have their ballroom for that project. And we made all sizes of bandages. And we had a great turnout of people.
Could you tell me a little bit more about Miss Love, her first name, and do you remember?
No, I don't remember her first.
Well, she was the head of the Red Cross.
Uh-huh. And for a number of years, and she was a very dedicated person.
Mm-hmm.
And Mrs. Crawford, Marge Crawford, and Mrs. Ternan and myself were in charge of the bandages.
Mm-hmm.
And we all had to wear white dresses and caps. It really was quite a picture to see everybody up there. And the women objected a little bit not to be able to wear rings, but that was in the orders, and we were very careful to carry out the orders of it, like scrubbing the tables between sessions and we got to laughing. Our things went to St. Louis, and we got to laughing because when they wanted something and particularly made bright, they were always calling us to do it.
Well, you had a good reputation then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've talked a bit about Decatur of past times. What are your views of Decatur today, Mrs. Baring?
Of course, having grown up here all my life and watching it grow and change, it's been very interesting to me. I think that Decatur is getting more, well, factories in, and
you think that's good?
Yes. because that's the way you grow.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting better shops, and our streets are better. And I think we're just fundamentally improving all the time. I hope so, anyhow.
Do you share the views of people who think that modern life has too much pollution and noise?
Oh,
and so
well, I don't get into that. as long as I can breathe.
You accept it.
I accept it.
You're not too pessimistic
no,
about it.
No, I'm sorry to say.
Well, I'm glad to say, because after all, anyone who has had a long and happy life remembers the days that were pleasant, wants to keep on, and it's very reassuring to think that you have a constructive and optimistic view about life today.
Well, I try to have.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, my granddaughters, I have my granddaughters, and my one daughter lives here, and that they're all so good to me.
Uh-huh.
And so I really have nothing but joy to look forward to.
Well, that really is great. Thank you very much for sharing your experiences with us today, Mrs. Baring.
Well, I'm afraid I haven't shared very many with you, but if I've been any help, I'm delighted.
Well, very good. Thank you. You have been listening to Mrs. Jane Conklin Baring, reminiscing about her experiences in her life in Decatur. This is Betty Turnell.